doesn't matter why I was there, for the air is sterile and the sheets sting. It doesn't matter that I was hooked up to this thing that buzzed and beeped every time my heart leaped, like a man whose faith tells him God's hands are big enough to catch an airplane or a world. Doesn't matter that I was curled up like a fist protesting death, or that every breath was either hard labor or hard time, or that I'm either always too hot or too cold. It doesn't matter, because my hospital roommate wears Star Wars pajamas, and he's 9 years old. His name is Lewis. And I don't have to ask what he's got. Bald head with the skin and bones frame speaks volumes. The Game Boy and feather pillow booms like trying to make him feel at home, because he's gonna be here a while. I manage to smile the first time I see him, and it feels like the biggest lie I've ever told. So I hold my breath, because I'm thinking any minute now he's gonna call me on it. I hold my breath, because I'm scared of a 57-pound boy hooked to a machine. Because he's been watching me, and maybe I've got him pegged all wrong, like maybe he's bionic or some shit. So I look away. Like I just made eye contact with a gang member with a rap sheet the length of a lecture on dumb mistakes politicians have made. I look away like he's gonna give me my life back the minute I've got something to trade. I damn near pull out my pack and say, cigarette? But my fear subsides in the moment I realize Louis is all about show and tell. He's got everything from a shotgun shell to a crow's foot, and he can put them all in context. Like, see, this is from a shooting range, and see, this is from a weird girl. I watch his hands curl around a cuff link and a tie tack, and I realize that every knick-knack is a treasure, and every treasure's got a story. And every time I think I can't handle more, he hits me with another story. He says, see, this is from my father. See, this is from my brother. See, this is from that weird girl. See, this is from my mother. It took me 2 days to figure out that weird girl is his sister. It took him about 2 hours a day after she left for him to figure out he missed her. They visit every day, and they stay well past visiting hours, because for them that term doesn't apply. But when they do leave, Lewis and I are left alone, and he says the worst part about being sick is that you get all the free ice cream you ask for. And he says the worst part about that is realizing that there's nothing more they can do for you. He says, ice cream can't make everything okay. And there's no easy way of asking, and I already know what he's gonna say, but maybe he just needs to say it, so I ask him anyway. Are you scared? Lewis doesn't even lower his voice when he says, fuck yeah. I listened to a 9-year-old boy say the word fuck, like he was a 30-year-old man with a nosebleed being lowered into a shark tank. He's got a right to it. And if it takes this kid a curse word to help him get through it, I want to teach him to swear like the devil was sitting there taking notes with a pen and a pad. But before I can forget that Lewis is 9 years old, he says, please don't tell my dad. He asks me if I believe in angels. And before I realize I don't have the heart to tell him, I tell him, not lately. And I just lay there waiting for him to hate me. But he doesn't know how to, so he never does. Lewis loves like a man who lived in a time before God gave religion to men and left it to them to figure out what hate was. He never greets me with silence, only smiles. And a patience I've never seen in someone who knows they're dying. And I'm trying so hard not to remind him I'll be out of here in a couple of days smoking cigarettes and taking my life for granted. And he'll still be planted in this bed like a flower that refuses to grow. I've been with him for 5 days, and all I really know is Lewis loves to pull feathers out of his pillow and watch them float to the ground. Almost as if he was the philosopher instead of the scientist, ready to say that it's gravity that's been getting us down. But the truth is, there's not enough miracles to go around, kid. There's too many people petitioning God for the winning lotto ticket, and for every answered prayer there's a cricket with arthritis. And the only reason we can't find answers is the search party didn't invite us. And Lewis, right now, the crickets have arthritis, so there is no music. No symphony of nature swelling to crescendos as if we bent halos into melodies that could keep rhythm with the way our hearts beat. So we must meet silence with the same level of noise that the parents of dying 9-year-old boys make when they take liberties in talking with heaven. We must shout until we shatter in our own vibrations, then let our lives echo and grow. Echo and grow. Echo and grow. Grow distant. Grow distant enough to know that as far as our efforts go, we don't always get a reply. But I swear to whatever God I can find in the time I have left, I'm gonna remember you, kid. Gonna tell your story as often as every story you told me. And every time I tell it, I'll say, see, there's bravery in this world. There's 6.5 billion people curled up like fists protesting death, but every breath we take has to be given back. A 9-year-old boy taught me that. So, hold your breath. The same way you'd hold a pen when writing. Thank you, letters on your skin, to every tree that gave you that breath to hold. And let it go. As if you understand something about getting old and having to give back. Let it go like a laugh attack in the middle of really good sex. The black eye will be worth it. Because what is your night worth without a story to tell? And why wield a word like worth if you've got nothing to sell? People drop pennies down a wishing well as if the cost of a desire is equal to that of a thought. But if you've got expectations, expect others to have bought your exact same dream for the price of the hard work. Hang in, a hold-on mentality, like I accept any challenge, so challenge me. Challenge me. Like, I've brought a knife to this gunfight, but the other night I mugged a mountain, so bring that shit, I've had practice. Lewis and I cracked this world wide open, and we found the prize inside, because we never lied to ourselves, never told ourselves it would be easy or undemanding. So we sing in our own vibration and dare angels to eavesdrop and stop mid-flight to pluck feathers from their wings and write demands on God's hands. Take the time to catch you so that even if God doesn't, it wasn't because we didn't try. I don't often believe in angels. But on the day I left, Lewis pulled a feather from his pillow and he said, "This is for you." I half expected him to say, "See, this is the first one.